very front. I'm not talking about just sitting here in the church. I'm talking about getting you to the front to receive your blessing.
Amen.
You understand? For too long, we've been sitting in the back. I'm not talking physically in the church. I'm talking, we're sitting in the back waiting for God's blessing. And he's saying, I've already released it, but you're just sitting there waiting and waiting, not actively pursuing me so that you can call it out of the heavens and into this natural realm. You have to get a different perspective. When God called Moses in the wilderness, God called him by a burning bush, but it wasn't being consumed. So Moses sees this. Now, it wasn't something that Moses hadn't seen before. He was in the desert. So bushes are going to burn. But this time, it wasn't being consumed by the fire. So that's what was strange. Are you hearing me? There's some things that God is going to do in your life that you may think is going to consume you. But in reality, he's going to turn that to bless you because he's calling you closer to him. There's a purpose and a mandate for your life, and you have to see things that are differently and get a different perspective. So that what you're seeing with your natural eyes that you're feeling that could consume you is not going to consume you. Do you understand that? It's not going to consume you. It's going to set you up. It's going to set you up for victory. Are you seeing that? Now, you understand that, well, Moses, he didn't want to answer the call. He didn't want to answer the call. But because he didn't want to answer the call, God had to do something very different and strange for him to answer the call. How many times has God done something in your life? It didn't go the way you thought it was going to go.
Come on.
Right? Had no way of inclination, no way of thinking how God was going to do something, but he did something very different. And it made you answer the call. Well, there's some things that are in our soul that God is trying to get to us, but there's something that's blocking it. And it's something that we don't quite understand why or where it came from. Have you ever felt like you're battling something that you just think, where did this come from? Where in the world did this originate from? Why am I fighting against this thing over and over and there's no change? Right? These are ancient doors to our soul, and they're called the iniquities of our forefathers. This is what I want to share with you tonight. So if you have your Bibles, I want to get to this particular message. It's in 2 Corinthians 4, if you would. 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4. I'm going to read this out of the King James Version. Hopefully we get a different perspective. Different perspective. 2 Corinthians 4. I'm going to read this out of the King James Version, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced, say it with me, renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And in whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believeth not. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Verse 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We have the same spirit of faith according as it is written. I believe, and therefore I have spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that which he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through thanksgiving of many renown of the glory of God, for which cause we faint not, but through our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Verse 16, if you would. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light afflictions, which is for but a moment, worketh for us as far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. While we look at things that which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that it is true yesterday, today, and forever. I thank you that your word not only penetrates our heart, but it penetrates our soul. I thank you that it prepares a way for us, O God, to renew our mind and renew our walk in you, O God. That it reveals the doors to our soul that has been hidden, Lord, that has been hidden within our soul. That, Father, that we can renounce today and be set free from the iniquities of even our forefathers. Lord, we just thank you for it now. Now we take charge over this room right now and in this atmosphere. For every unclean and distracting spirit, we certainly notice now you're not welcome in this place. We bind you now and we lose the attentiveness of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that the ears are prepared to hear, their eyes prepared to see, and their soul is ready to receive. We thank you for it now in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said, Amen. In verse 2 in 2 Corinthians 4, it talks about how we have renounced the hidden things. The hidden things. Many times we don't quite understand what is transpiring in our soul. We didn't do it. We haven't allowed it, but it's just there. Some things have a tendency to show up over and over in your life. Have you seen patterns like that in your life? It just shows up out of nowhere. And then you try to go back now with all this new DNA roots thing that you can find. A leaf shows up here or whatever. And you can find your lineage. You can find your history. You can find your ancestry. But I find it interesting if we go and ask God specifically about things that may be hidden that we don't understand, he can reveal to us by the Spirit of the living God what is actually there within our soul that we haven't taken notice of. It had been hidden and been dormant for so long. And we have to renounce it. Why do we have to renounce these things? Because if you renounce it, you are formally declaring that this entity or this thing that you're dealing with no longer has a right or an authority or any claim in your soul. You understand? That's why we have to renounce. It is also to refuse to recognize or to abide by any way or any longer. We can walk through life not understanding what's there, but when God begins to reveal to you that there is something there that you didn't cause, you didn't create, but is there in your life, you can begin to renounce it, taking back that authority and canceling it off of your soul. Once you cancel it off of your soul, you cancel it off of the lineage that follows you. That's how you deal with generational curses. But if you don't renounce it and you just start binding it, you still are giving it authority. But the moment that you renounce it, you shut that door that has been opened. Okay? Now, how do these doors open up in your soul? They open up by an emotion. If you've been rejected from someone in your life, if you've been rejected by mom, dad, boyfriend, husband, someone in your life has rejected you, that rejection is going to open up a door that is going to begin to make you feel like you've been abandoned. And that door begins to create all kinds of havoc in that realm of rejection. Someone doesn't speak to you in the way that you think that you should be spoken to. Now anger begins to come up, and you were always a very passive individual. And the anger that comes up is, where did this come from? I'm usually the one that's more temperate. I can deal with these things. But now I'm just getting angry and getting irritated quicker than I've ever been irritated before. Because the root is beginning to produce a fruit in your life and you don't realize it. And it goes on without you noticing it, that when it finally does show its fruit, the root is already producing other fruit. Do you understand? And some of the things come from doors that were opened up from our forefathers, and you didn't even open them. It was done in your lineage. And we go through life dealing with this issue over and over, and we don't realize where it comes from. These are the ancient doors of our past. And it resides within our soul. We carry it. It's not that the generational curse comes to destroy you. It comes to stall you and to keep you from progressing forward. See, the blood destroyed the power of the curse. But if you don't renounce it, it still has authority in your life. That's why you must renounce the hidden things. Now, in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22, I'm going to read this. It's going to be a lot of scripture. If you're taking notes, please just jot them down. This is going to help you to understand when things begin to show up, how we can get rid of it and how we can declare it no longer valid in your life, no more authority. Okay? In Ephesians 2:19 through 22, I'm going to read this out of the New American Standard Bible. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, and in whom you also are being built together in a dwelling of God in the Spirit. You are no longer strangers or aliens. You are now of the kingdom and the household of God. Now, I find it very interesting that it says that you're no longer strangers. Before you came to Christ and literally gave and accepted him as your personal Lord and Savior and gave your life over to him, you were an outsider looking into the kingdom but never participating in the blessings of the kingdom. Now, the moment you accepted him, now you've entered into the kingdom and you let go of the former things. You understand that? Yes, Pastor, it's simple. Yes, I understand. But he says that you're also now, because you're citizens of this kingdom, now the citizenship that you have has rights and it has rules and it has authorities. Where you were once in that citizenship of the world, it has rules and it has authority that had governed your life. Amen? But when we cross over, and if we're not taught how to get rid of that authority from the former life, you're still going to be praising God here and worshiping your former God, the prince of this world, and not realizing that I have a form of godliness but denying the power of. Do you understand? God wants to get us to that place of a full understanding of his kingdom, your identity, and the blessing that he has in store for you. The trick of the enemy is to get you to either give up your identity, not understand who you are, and to begin to question whether you're really in the citizenship of his house. And if we give that up, we're no longer going to receive the full blessing. We only receive just what we need, the crumbs. And I don't know about you, but I don't want crumbs anymore. When you're hungry, crumbs do not satisfy you. More than anything, it makes you even more angry because you're only eating crumbs. I'm tired of crumbs. You tired of crumbs? Yeah. No, I want the full meal. Amen. Now, in the book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah speaks in chapter 65, verses 6 through 7. Isaiah 65, 6 through 7. In the English Standard Version, it reads this way: Behold, it is written before me, I will not keep silent, but I will repay. I will indeed repay into their lap both your iniquities and your father's iniquities together, says the Lord. Because they made offerings on the mountains and insulted me on the hills, I will measure into their lap payment for their former deeds. What is he speaking of here? The prophet is declaring what God is going to do and how he's going to repay all that rebelliousness that has taken place before fathers. Now that you have accepted Christ, he already paid for that for you and no longer is going to judge those iniquities, but there are some things that are there that are grossly injustice that has been done and it's trickled down through your life, your lineage. Now, he's not going to judge that, but he will reveal that to you so that you can remove it in that place of authority in your life. Are you seeing this? So the prophet is saying now that what God is going to do and lets him know that the iniquities are not just of your own, but also of your forefathers. Now, growing up Catholic and, well, Hispanic, I couldn't change that. I was Hispanic, so I just... Growing up in the history of our lineage, my grandmother used to pray for a lot of people. She used to pray for a lot of people and get them healed, but along the way, there were some things that were intermixed. I used to see eggs being pulled out just to pray for people. And it found it strange that an egg would be wrapped or throughout the whole body. And then they would get a glass and open up the egg in the glass and say, ay, pues mira, tienes el ojo del diablo. Y'all know about that? Y'all know about that egg? Look at that. Isn't that something the church knows about the egg? How many of y'all did? Come on, right now. Me too, you in church. We all did it. We didn't know that what it was, it was witchcraft. And then, and you put it in a glass and they show you, look, that's the evil eye. And I would look at the egg like, I don't see an evil eye. I see egg that needs to be stirred up so I can eat. But before the prayer, my grandma would get this egg and have a fever or something. And then mom would say, okay, you need to be still, be quiet, and close your eyes. Grandma's going to pray for you. Okay? And then the egg would come out, and I'd feel something hard and go over my face like that. And so I'm thinking, wow, her hands are pretty rough. Then I open my eyes and see it's an egg. See, what happens, we can have faith to do certain things that we've seen our ancestors do. But if we don't change and acknowledge that, first of all, it's not of God. Some of y'all are going to go home and probably stop doing that now. But I'm just telling you. He says, by the Bible says that by the curtain of eggs you're healed. It says, by your stripes you are healed. You see how we intermix some things of the former into our now. Now, we have all kinds, we call them wives' tales, right? All kinds of ways of healing that supposedly been proven. I question if it's really proven or it's just something that they only had to do because they didn't have insurance. They couldn't go to the doctor, so they just used that. So, when I would get sick, I would call mom. Mom, I'm not feeling good. There's something wrong. I'm going to make a caldito de pollo. Make a chicken caldo. You know, a chicken soup. A vegetable. Oh, I feel good. Well, yeah, because you ate. Now, if I had bad sinuses and I couldn't breathe, she would come, get in the pot, put the pot, and then she would get some bits, put it in the water, and then she'd get some anise, and put that in there, and turn it up real high, put some lemon in there, and the whole house would smell. I got sick by drinking that water. There was so much bits in there that mentholated, and it would just open up my sinuses for a minute, and it'd be running rose because it was hot. By your bits you are healed. By his stripes you were healed. Okay, so the trick of the enemy. Now, I get it. that we grow up in life, and I've heard many people say, well, God put the herbs, and this, don't go there, put the herbs on the earth for us to use. After the curse, thorns and thistles sprung up. Not everything that grew on this earth was from God. Just saying. We kind of mix some things that we wanted to fit for what we want to do. And if we continue to mix what we want it for and how it's going to benefit us, we're going to miss the true benefit of His Word that is truth and proven truth. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
Proven truth. It is a proven truth that will always work and never fail you. Never fail you. Now, how many of you pray to never see change in a circumstance? Yeah, we pray and haven't seen a change, and we just continue to pray, right? Now, if we to begin with, we would need to go to God and ask God, why hasn't it changed? Reveal to me so I get enlightenment, get revelation of why it hasn't changed. Show me so I can better correct my prayer for it. Now, I was speaking to my father over the weekend on Father's Day, and he was saying it was a great message on Saturday about the binding and the loosing. Okay, your keys, use your keys. He says it was a refresher because we get caught up in binding and binding, but we don't go back and loose. So a refresher. Now, it's something we grew up learning in church. We've always had to bind, and we always have to bind, and you got to bind, and you got to bind. And by the time you know, you have bound so many things and never loosed. So we go through that. Well, you know what? God's taking care of it. It's His blood. It's His blood. It's His blood. I believe His blood takes care. But you have a responsibility to speak. You have to speak to your circumstances so that your circumstances can change. Your circumstances can begin to reflect what you're speaking.
Yes.
Believe that to be true?
Yes.
Because out of your mouth, in the tongue, is what? Life or death. Now, we know that to be a spiritual context, and that what you're speaking will manifest. And my wife and I, yesterday, spent probably about two-thirds of the day out in our backyard, just rearranging man cave, flowers, and I love flowers. And my kids would tell you that, I would tell them, make sure you talk to the flowers every morning when you leave, because they have something by the door. And then my kids, you know, they're like, I did, how can I talk to them? No, you didn't. They miss you, but, you know, say hi to them. Just say hi to the flowers on the way out, right? So, I'm back there, and I'm replanting some things, and I'm moving things around, and I'm talking to the flowers. You're going to grow, you're going to be strong, and you're going to reject every insect that comes to try to eat at your roots.
I talked to trees.
Hey, all right, I'm going to talk back. We're okay. It's the same thing with the flowers. I speak life. I speak life, and I begin, I told my wife, can you go get the coffee grounds for me so I can put it into the plants so that it will be the fertilizer and also repel the insects. And that's when the Lord spoke to me. He says, see, there's some things in your life that you know that are right there in front of your eyes to see on how the root can be eaten up from underneath the surface if you're not seeing. But some things have to be applied on top of the surface so that it will trickle down into the roots. And once it gets into the roots, it begins to affect the system and the fruits. So I began to speak to the flowers, of course. I'm putting the coffee grounds in, and it's to get rid of the insects that are coming in and eat the roots. And then I'm declaring that they're going to live and not die. That's when the Lord says, what you're doing is exactly what this is. You're closing off the things that you can't see beneath the surface. And you're opening up through life. You're speaking life at the surface, but it goes into the root system. And in the root system, it begins to produce, and it produces after its kind. So I'm releasing seed of life and not death. So, I don't want you to raise your hand with this, but it's a rhetorical question. How many have you received a very negative thing spoken to you and it hurt you? Anybody says anything negative about you, it's going to hurt. And I understand that. Anybody lying about you, it's going to hurt. And when someone rejects you, it's going to hurt. the reaction to the actual thing that's taken place to that word has taken root already. It's opened up a door. And when that door opens up, it is also opening up something that has been there in the past, but you probably didn't know it was there. Because what we have in our conscience is that we have the blockage ability. We're going to block something that has hurt us or wounded us from the past and that we don't want to see anymore. So we will block it. Not only can we block it from our memory, we would literally purposely forget it. Now, because we forget it, it doesn't mean that it's gone. You know, out of sight, out of mind? No, out of sight, out of mind, but in your soul. It's still there. Now, I begin to ask God, what specifically in this season that we're in the body of Christ, what do we need to know? He says that there are ancient doors of our past, that there was false worship that had taken place and lineages way beyond. And growing up, we didn't know how to deal with it. Mom only knew just a little bit of the different things that her mom, your mom, and then your grandmother, and I'm sure you didn't quite understand the full lineage to great-grandmas because they were Indian blood. So there's some things that have taken place that interact within and they intermingle, mix within our soul through our lineage that later on in life it skips generations and all of a sudden now you're dealing with something that they didn't deal with because they entered into an area and now you're having to deal with it. See, the scripture that I read earlier is that the things that we deal with that we see are temporal, but the things that we do not see, they're eternal. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. That means they continue on for eternity. And they sit there and wait dormant for the opportune time to come in and do what needs to be done. And if we don't deal with these things, and if we don't renounce them and close these doors, it'll wait for the next generation and begins to do even more havoc. Now, some of our ancestry may have had occultism. And in the occult, they had false practice of worship. And the Bible says that they went in and they offered offerings unto the gods in the hills and the mountaintops. Now, God specifically tore down the altars that man built for other gods. Every prophet that came in was to go in and destroy the altars of the false gods. Literally destroy them, knock them over, burn them, and get rid of everything so that the altar of God can be purified and lifted up before the people so that they knew where to go for their worship, the true living God and not a false God. Now, throughout the history in the Bible, we have read when John, the Apostle Paul, and is going into the city, and there's a little girl there of divination. It's in Acts 16:16. And they were looking for a place of prayer when they were going in. I'm going to read this in Acts 16, verses 16 through 18. There's where it's found. But it came to pass as they were going to the place of prayer that a certain maid having a spirit of divination met them, who brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Now, when we deal with things of that nature of witchcraft, soothsaying, supernatural like that, how many of you have seen all these shops that are out there that are for psychic readings? You've seen them, right? They're out there in plain sight. And many people go to them, because that's why they're still in business. Many people go to them because they want to know something about their future. But you'll find that it doesn't reveal about the future. It reveals about usually of their past. It reveals something that's been taking place in their life right now. Familiar spirits in which they speak to are revealing these things. And then they give a false prophecy that did not come from God concerning your future. And these demons begin to go and make it become manifest in your life. And divination is that. It's a sorcery that is taking place of witchcraft. It keeps you from moving into the truth and the fullness of what God has for you. Now, witchcraft is something that has been very dominant over this city. Would you agree? Very dominant. Coming from a couple of trips to Africa, I've seen witchcraft in a whole different form. very strong form. And I thought the witchcraft here was strong. This is kindergarten compared to over there. That the people are so scared in Kenya to deal with any witch doctor or any form of witchcraft because they know it's going to take place. They know it. So when they come into the kingdom of God, they already have the faith to believe for miracles. For they've seen the supernatural. Are you hearing me? So when you come out into the States, and the States has been dealing with witchcraft, witchcraft has been what we see here as curses. Jealousy, relationships, and then the ones where they do certain things so that you can become wealthy with money and lottos, right? Yeah, I've seen how well that's worked out. So they give you potions and they give you all kinds of things to do, wrapping coins up and putting in certain places and certain potions that they have, but things don't work. What they're trying to do is give a false hope into you so that you believe that as opposed to believing in God. And when you start believing in something that is not truthful and is a lie, it begins to formulate within your soul for you to believe more lies than truth. So when the enemy comes in to speak a half-truth, which is still a lie, you begin to listen towards and hear towards the lie than you do the truth. And what has happened for such a long period of time is that the enemy has gotten the people so tired and so weary to give up. And they start searching for other things. They start searching for other gods or other ways of form of worship so that they don't have to deal with issues in their life. They want to have the quick fix. You know, the quick fix. If we were to open up a church that has a drive-through prayer line, it would be full. I don't have to get out of my comfort zone. I can come by the church. I can go through the window and get my blessing and my prayer and my word and be on my way. I need everything to fit my schedule and keep me in my place of comfort that I've become accustomed to. But anything that is going to challenge you is going to make you have to make some changes in your life. Hello? Because, you know, that 3-minute ab that makes you get 6-pack abs, that 3-minute abs, you know, you do 3 minutes of sit-ups and stuff like that, and you get abs in 3 minutes. It's proven. It's scientific. It's proven. If you hire models to do it, you'll believe the 3-minute abs. Scientifically proven. You'll believe it. That as long as you make someone stand there that looks like they've done it, but you didn't see how long it took them to get that way, and just because they put a 3-minute thing on there, you're going to believe that it's truly going to do it. We want everything to be done that quick. That quick. Lord, I give my life to you, and I thank you that every issue in my life has already been dealt with. Has that happened for you? No, as you find out that the more and more you go through life, it's still there. And he begins to work in that area of your life to show you there's something in your soul that you don't want to close off because you don't want to deal with it. Or maybe you've forgotten it intentionally because of the pain and the stress it's caused. So it's time to reveal it so that we can close that door. Okay? We have to discern. We have to discern. The spiritual gift of discernment is also known as the gift of the discerning of spirits, or distinguishing between spirits. The Greek word for the gift of discernment is dikresis. The word described being able to distinguish, discern, judge, or appraise a person, or a statement, or a situation, or an environment. Here's what I want you to understand. The environment is the key. The environment is key. Because if you don't discern the environment, the enemy can bring a lying spirit within that environment and you won't know that it's a lie. Do you understand? Have you ever been in a place where you just can't focus? You can't get into it. You can't follow. You can't focus. There's a confusing spirit that is in the atmosphere, in that environment, to keep you from focusing in. Because the enemy doesn't want you to receive the insight and revelation of what is going forward. So whenever you come into things, any type of teaching, school, whatever the case may be, any type of lecture, or something you have to pay attention to. You bind confusion and you lose attentiveness. Understand that? The enemy does not want you to gain knowledge and understanding. Have you ever gotten into your word and you just can't focus? Where you start to read, and don't read like at midnight because you're going to fall asleep. Find some time that you know you're going to be awake with the Lord so he can speak to you. And then when you start to read and then it just seems like it's just not clicking, find confusion, lethargy, and release the spirit of revelation, attentiveness. Remember, you can't bind without loosing. And then you begin to see that God's going to release revelation to you of what you're reading. Never get in the Word without asking the Holy Spirit to bring understanding to you. The Holy Spirit will bring understanding to His Word for you. Believe that? Yes? Amen. Because it's true. True. Okay. Now, the Holy Spirit gives us the gift of discernment to enable Christians to clearly recognize and distinguish between the influence of God or the influence of Satan and the influence of the world. Most importantly, the influence of the flesh in any given situation. The church needs these gifts to warn believers in times of danger and to keep them from being led astray by false teaching. This particular excerpt that I'm doing is from our class that we do on spiritual warfare in the School of Prophecy. Every time we get into this particular aspect of it in the curriculum, people begin to ask all kinds of things about how are you going to understand whether it's God or it's the enemy. When you hear something and you know that's not your thought, and it just shows up and you hear it or you see whichever you operate in, the content of what has been given to you will determine who it's from. Do you understand that? If it's the Word of God in its fullness, God sent that to you. The enemy is not going to throw a scripture in your mind for you to go to give someone. Oh, we'll give them the scripture. No, the enemy is going to speak something contrary to the scripture. The content. You understand the content? We as believers have to understand the content of what we're hearing and seeing for the individual so that we can lead them towards the truth, which is the Word. Do you understand? Because the enemy comes in to do what? Three things, three ministries. Kill, steal, and destroy. And what we need to do is to be able to understand the environment that we're in and how to release the encouraging word for someone that is in need. Amen? That's what we need to do, is encourage them. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, and the old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17 is the statement that the apostle is writing to the Corinthian church, is that we got to let go of our former things. We have to let go of it. The way that we used to worshiping false gods, because the Corinthian church was a church that was birthed in a place that had so many false religions, false gods. They had so much sexual perversion in that region that they would call the Corinzini, because it was so bad. So if I name a city right now, what I'm about to say, and I bet you'll probably understand what I'm trying to say, that they're known for. Las Vegas. What is it known for? Sin City. Okay? Corinthians were known for what they used to do. Do you understand? They used to have temple prostitutes come to the church. Hello? And sexual acts done in the church. Do you understand this? So when the Apostle Paul has established a church there, he's writing to them that you're no longer the way you used to be. How is this taking place within the church when you should already know better? Right? Why is it so important that we understand this? Because here they are doing church, but still doing the things of their past in the church. So that's why it doesn't surprise me that we will have more divorces in the church than the world. Because we're doing the same thing that we were before we came into the knowledge of the kingdom of God. Do you understand that? If you were to look at people and begin to see how their life is, you'd begin to see that people are just people that are dealing with things on an everyday basis, correct? As people. So the trick of the enemy is to say, don't go to church because they're nothing but hypocrites and liars. They're going to judge you. What is the trick of that? The world needs a place where they can come in and they can be taught on how to close some doors of old ways and old ways of thinking. But when we come in and purposely don't want to deal with it because of the pain that was caused, then what happens is we go right outside the doors of the church, living the same way we were before we came into church. Now, it's a process. I get that. It's not going to happen immediately. Just like the six-pack abs. Just working out is not going to do it. You actually have to change your eating habits. You have to change the way your lifestyle is, right? To get the six-pack abs. So I have a problem with that. I do the workout. But I don't want to change the way I eat. So if I negate any of the process, will I get the results that I'm after? No. It's the same thing in the spiritual realm. The same thing. If I'm going to come into the kingdom to pursue God, then there's some things that I also got to deal with in my soul, so I'm not dealing with it as I continue onward. And when you go through a soul detox, you're going through the emotional scars in your life to close those doors so that you're no longer reacting to the way you react because of that scar that was there. Yeah. Jealousy is a big one. And I don't mean jealousy in just your spouse, your significant other. Jealousy comes because someone has and you don't. Amen? Someone has an anointing that you desire. Someone has a special gift that you desire to operate in. And jealousy can come in, what we would call covetousness in the church. We don't see it because we were desiring it. But then when they begin to operate in it and move in it, you're asking, can I begin to do that as well? But if you negate the process in which you have to understand it and learn it, you'll miss it. If you don't draw closer to God, spend time with God, and get in His Word, and begin to ask God, then you won't see it. Every gift is inside of you right now. Do you believe that? Every single gift of God is inside of you right now. How many of you believe that you have the junior Holy Spirit? You don't have a junior Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit. Every gift for the kingdom of God, for the working and the equipping of the saints, is inside of you right now to build the temple of God, to build His kingdom, and to further His kingdom in this world right now. The trick of the enemy is to get you from operating in it because he doesn't want you to begin to understand your full identity and who you are. And if you don't understand who you really are in the kingdom of God, you will never mount to the fullness of who you are. You will always walk looking around thinking there's something missing in your life. It's because you haven't unlocked your full potential. And when you don't unlock your full potential, the enemy can come in and lie to you and make you believe that your sin is what's causing you not to operate in it. The moment you said yes to Christ, your past, present, and your future sins have been put on the cross. Amen. Been paid for. Yes. You understand? That means that you're not going to be condemned to hell for the sin. Does not mean that you won't pay for the consequences of what you're doing.
That's right.
You will still pay the consequences for your sin. Consequences, not by God, but by consequences of the sin. Are you understanding that?
Yes.
Prime example. If I get in my vehicle and travel 100 miles an hour down this road, I get a ticket. That's the consequences for my actions. for breaking the law, right? When we begin to break the law in the kingdom of God, there's a consequence that's going to take place. If we don't go to the source that can heal our very intimate beings, our soul, then what's going to happen is we're going to start looking for ways of escape to go and mitigate that problem. We have to go to the source, which is God. God knows all things. Satan doesn't. Satan is not omniscient. He does not know all things. He's not omnipresent. He can't be everywhere. That's why he uses demons. Where God can be in every place, at every time, in an instant, and know all things.
Thank you, Lord.
That's what God needs. The enemy has to use demons. God, he himself, is with you. With you. And because he's with you, everything that you're facing out in this world, he says in his word, fear not, beloved, be of good courage, be of good strength. Because trouble may come. And when trouble comes, it won't last always. And fear not, I have overcome the world. When you understand that everything that you're facing, he's already overcome, he's experienced it, he knows it, and he knows the temptation of it, he sends the Holy Spirit to convict you not to do it, a way of escape. But when you begin to fight against the conviction of the Lord, you're fighting against him, you're rebelling against God. No one likes to deal with the scars that we have in our heart. Because it hurts. And if you've ever been hurt emotionally by a relationship, you tend to develop a pattern in your life not really trusting in other relationships. If you've always had someone that has lied to you, hurt you, wounded you in a relationship that you have trusted or loved, then you begin to develop that every relationship is going to be exactly that. And you begin to attract that type of relationship everywhere you go. Because what's inside of you. If you are angry and upset because you're always bitter about something that's going on in your life, you will always tend to draw people of the same nature and same character around you. Same thing. So you have to understand that God wants to get that thing out and is telling you that you have to get rid of it yourself. You have to renounce it, declare it's no longer an authority in your life, shut the door to it, all those ancient wounds that are there, and those are the forefathers. When we close these doors, we release now the open door. Jesus is the door. You understand? He is the door. And we release his blessing and his presence of the kingdom in our life, in that very area. So if you've been rejected, he is the door, you're accepted. If you feel like you're unloved, he is the door. He is love. Are you seeing this? Everything that has come your way that you have dealt with in your life begins to develop a pattern in your soul, and then you begin to develop it in your mind, and you follow those patterns. And if it doesn't fit these patterns that you're used to or accustomed to, then you're going to continue following after it over and over and over because that's your norm. That's your normal behavior. A learned behavior. And we have to get away with these learned behaviors. An iniquity is a gross injustice, wickedness, a wicked act or a thing. Exodus 20, verse 5 reads this, "Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me." God is saying in this very particular scripture in Exodus that I will judge these generations that have turned on me, that hate me. Now, of course, you're here in church. You don't hate God, do you? And if you do, don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. I'm going to put you in glass. God wants to prove his love to you. He wants to prove his love. And how does someone prove their love to you? By always being there and never leaving. Never leaving. God will never speak ill things of you or ever speak any death into your life. will never violate you in any way. Because the Father that we serve will always speak truth, love, and peace into your soul. He will challenge and correct when necessary, but never speak ill of you. Do you understand? The fallacy that goes out through the enemy's mouth is that God is a God that will judge you to the death. That was the God of the ancient way before Christ came to the cross. Do you understand? So the trick of the enemy is to get you to believe the old ways and not accept the new covenant. The new covenant. Now, in Ephesians 2:2, it reads this way, that you once practiced as you lived according to the ways of this present world and according to the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now active in those who are disobedient. This is speaking of those that have been out in the world in this particular spirit. They've listened to the spirit of the world, the prince of the air, which is Satan and his demons. They followed after, they continue to follow after and do what they want to do. And again, now the Apostle Paul is writing to the church of Ephesus now and telling Ephesus, now you have to understand you can't be the way you used to be and the way you used to act, the way you used to deal with people. You have to be changed, renewed of your mind, renewed, different. You're not the same. We have to understand that the prince and the power of the air is coming to change and challenge you so that you give up the authority that God has given you. Now, I want to go over some prayers that I believe they're going to help you. These are prayers that are going to destroy altars that have been built up over generations from our forefathers that you don't even know that they were there. These prayers are also going to deal with some of the things that maybe you've been dealing with in the atmosphere called principalities. One of the most dirtiest and nastiest spirits that I've ever had to deal with quite often is the spirit of Jezebel. Jezebel is a very ferocious spirit that not only negates the authority, but also comes against rulership and comes against order. Now, how does this affect you in your personal life? This spirit of Jezebel comes in to stop you from receiving the authority and usurping the authority of God and taking matters into your own hands. You understand? And how it affects you is that it begins to get into your children's life or even to your spouse's life so that they no longer listen to truth, but they go and do and manipulate the way they want to get what they want. And that's what the spirit of Jezebel did to get what she wanted. She manipulated and lied to get what she wanted. The spirit is not a woman. It is a spirit, non-gender spirit that operates in the church, in the government, and in your homes. And if you don't deal with this and you've given that seat of authority over to the spirit unknowingly, or maybe knowingly you did, we've got to break it and take that seat back. So I want to go over these prayers with you. And I'm going to pray it as I've written it down. You can take notes, just listen for it, and you can understand. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the authority to battle against the controlling powers of witchcraft that attack me. In Jesus' name, I bind every negative and unscriptural word spoken against my life. I break the power of confusion, torment, fear, control, and manipulation. I take captive every vain imagination and high thought that is contrary to the word of God in my life. I submit and I loose my will, my thoughts, and life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And I plead the blood of Jesus over my mind and commanding stability and order to prevail in my soul. I break the power of witchcraft, deception, seduction, sorcery, and intimidation, knowing that the name of Jesus, every knee must bow. I decree freedom from the dark powers, from Jezebel, false prophetic words, controllers, manipulators, soothsayers, sorcerers, witches, counterfeits, soul ties, spiritual folly, lying spirits, lying dreams, and visions. I repent of sin both known and unknown, and submit myself thoroughly to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and His Word. I clothe myself in God's armor. I take up the weapons of my warfare that are not carnal but mighty in the pulling down of strongholds. I dedicate myself to the will of Jesus Christ. I repent of rebellion, pride, arrogance, spiritualism, control, manipulation, vain desires, and disrespecting the fivefold ascension gifts and my leaders. I renounce wrong associations, carrying witchcraft messages, false motives, and hidden agendas. I renounce the occultism from the generations previous of my forefathers and those of now in my lineage. I shut the door to the very occultic activity, and I loose now the spirit of the living God and the warring host of angels into my soul and into the atmosphere that is around me to cleanse the atmosphere now in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, your word says, if I confess my sins, you are faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I now address you, Jezebel, in the spiritual realm, and I declare that I recognize the cord of occultic powers between you and your seat of authority in my life and my family. I now take the sword of the Spirit, and I sever this cord of occultic powers in the almighty name of Jesus Christ. I now take the sword of the Spirit and sever the cord of compromise in the almighty name of Jesus Christ. I now address you, Jezebel, in the spiritual realm and declare that I recognize the cord of immorality and idolatry between you and your seat of authority in my life and my family. I now take the sword of the Spirit and sever this cord of immorality in the almighty name of Jesus. It is written in Revelation 19:7, let us rejoice and shout for joy. Let us celebrate and ascribe to his glory and honor for the marriage of the Lamb that has come and his bride prepared for herself. Father, I thank you for the seat of authority that you have given me. For we are now heirs, joint heirs through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And I thank you for that authority that you have given back to us, Lord, that we are kings and queens. And Father, that we're not of this world, but we're of the kingdom. We're citizens of your house. And I thank you for the ruling authority that you have given over our life and through our life that resides in our life, in our soul, because of the Holy Spirit that abides within us. So, Father, I thank you right now as we loose your blessing into every area of our soul through the ancient doors that need to be shut. We shut them out and we renounce everything that is not of you. From the former generations to the generations that are present today and the generations to come. We close these doors now in Jesus' mighty name. And we release you, the door, the way, the truth, and the life into every area of our life, into the lineage now to 1,000 generations of blessings, Lord. We thank you, Father, for it in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said, Amen. What I want you to understand, please, tonight before you leave, I wanted to teach this to you and to release this to you so you have